And it is started, it appears to be picking up the EKG, so that's a good sign. And Dave, I'm not going to do it now, obviously, but when I'm done, I'm going to hit pause, and then you're going to show me how to upload it or whatever. Yeah. But that's after I pause it, right? Like file save? I'm not going to do anything right now. It's moving. I'm not going to touch it. It is recording.
I'm recording too.
Dave. All right, I'm recording.
Dave, that's how we left it about 20 seconds ago.
I'm sorry. Well, yeah. Well, you know.
Can I call you guys Daves?
Daves are fine.
You could say 4 and 5 if you want.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 4 and 5.
These are the Daves. The Daves I know.
Yeah.
So, look, already you can tell without the introduction, we have Mon Papa.
Ooh, yeah.
My father is back on the podcast.
Yes, I am. Haven't recovered since the first one.
Who has talked to you more recently, me or your son, Dave? Because
yeah, I remember there was a whole kind of a kerfuffle, hullabaloo, much ado about nothing kind of situation.
Yeah, Dave is like, call me on this number, and then he gave me your number. So I called you, and you chatted with me and Matt, and that was fun.
Dave, did you have a whiskey sampling the night before when you did that, or what?
No, it was just, you know, look, I explained it on another podcast. I share an iTunes account. I'm 33 years old. It's normal. I don't need any criticism for doing that across international borders.
Your dad pays for your MP3 download still, 99 cents a song.
I've seen those come across.
Yeah, well... All right.
Well, no, so, he has me have that Apple Family thing or something.
Yeah. There. Well, you gotta spread the wealth, Dad. You know, it's very important.
No, I spread it plenty. Believe me. Yeah, believe me.
It's across borders. You know, it makes sense to have a Japanese. You know,
there's
when you
that certain like a transfer tax. You know how when global companies are between them, they have to make sure the appropriate tax. Maybe there's something to do apply to the family here.
Well, they don't. Let you buy Whale Wars in Japan for obvious reasons. They love, they love hunting whales here, and I need to get my daily fix of Whale Wars. So if I kick myself off your iTunes account, I can't watch Whale Wars every single morning of my life. Which
are they
is
still making Whale Wars?
No, they're not making Whale Wars. It's a very limited amount of episodes left, but I have seen every.
Are the wars still occurring?
The wars are done. The whales have won. The whales have won.
Whales won?
The whales
Why was I able to eat whale like less than a year ago in Japan then?
But well, Greenpeace was involved in that, right?
The Sea Shepherds.
Sea Shepherds. Something like that. Okay.
Yeah, they're at war with Greenpeace because Greenpeace...
Yeah, peaceful organizations, huh? Mm-hmm.
Well, Greenpeace is somewhat peaceful in that they will take boats and harass the whalers, but they won't throw stink bombs or butter bombs at them. Whereas Sea Shepherd will like throw stinky butter bombs at the Japanese, so that's a big difference. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
good
it's good there's not Taiwanese boats because you know they love that stinky tofu. So I'm guessing they would also like the stinky butter.
Just throw stinky tofu to be like PC. Look, we're not throwing butter at them. We're gonna throw. We got look, Andy is now down in New Zealand.
Yeah.
What's your opinion of New Zealand, Dad?
Well, you know, I used to do a talk show many years ago when I was in cable TV, and I interviewed a guy who was he was a travel editor for a newspaper in Detroit. Mm. And I asked him, what is the most beautiful country in the world? And he said New Zealand.
Australia. New Zealand.
Oh, where are you at, Andy?
I am in Auckland, New Zealand.
If
I look to my right here. I have a beautiful view of the bay and the harbor and Rangitoto, which is an island volcano just off the shore. It's a cloudy day. It's winter down here. Just about tomorrow will be the shortest day of the year in New Zealand. Longest day of the year for you two.
Do you like to show Flight of the Conchords?
Yes.
Or the guy, the band? And
They're from New Zealand.
Yes, they are, and everybody said they were from different countries.
Yeah.
Very offensive. Very offensive to them.
It is offensive. Frodo, don't wear the ring. I know it's very tempting. Yes, you will appear to disappear. But the dark riders, they'll know you're there.
Yes, Lord Sauron has many spies.
Many spies have many eyes.
No, so I know it's
one
beautiful.
One was from New, the other was from Zealand.
I just remember. It's a beautiful country. You're lucky to be there. You're fortunate, except that you got the winter coming your way, which is not a good thing. But you know, you're cold.
Yeah, it's compared to Michigan winters.
Yeah,
it's a walk in the park. I mean, it's been in the 60s almost every other day.
No, that's not bad.
So not too bad for winter.
Not at all.
Maybe if you're looking for a retirement, Dad, you moved down to New Zealand.
Yeah, ain't happening.
It's only a 24-hour flight.
Yeah, the jet lag would kill me.
No, you can do 15 hours from Chicago.
I'd be one of those guys that would get on the airplane and start talking on there, you know, like that one guy recently.
I'm not wearing a mask. I am not wearing a mask.
And he told everybody to put their oxygen tanks on. This guy was so screwed up.
Oh, well, it sounds like an American hero.
Yeah, he was a flight attendant. He just couldn't take it anymore.
We did the Ten Commandments. So this is our epic season, Dad.
Beautiful.
So we've done the Ten Commandments. We've done we did Tenet. We did Lawrence of Arabia. We did Seven Samurai. Some really long movies.
All Lord of the Rings films.
All three Lord of the Rings. You know, we're really and this movie is similarly very long.
Yeah,
when this movie came out, it felt like it had been a while since there was a 3-hour movie that people actually were going to go see, right?
Yeah, and one for the broads. This movie's definitely one for the ladies. They get their own epic, you know. Lawrence Arabia had literally not a single woman speaking in the movie.
Yeah.
And we went from that to this. You know, that's what's wrong with
Seven Samurai,
today.
Similar. Lord of the Rings, similar.
Yeah.
Ten Commandments. Well, Ten Commandments, we had, you know, what was her name? Nefertiti.
And in Ten Commandments, Dad, it was weird because I had like a bit of a summoning moment where I had my own, you know, burning bush moment where God told me that if you're going to brunch, don't wear a mask. So, you know, that was one of the brunch commandments. God came out as anti-mask. It turns out the Republicans were right. They were right about the attack.
They're always right.
I had my own burning bush moment as well, and I will not be visiting that brothel again.
So we've had a lot of burning bush moments. You missed out on a lot of content.
Speaking of burning bushes, this is 102 degree heat index here today in Florida.
That's hot.
Good. That's hot. You down in Miami? Where the heat is on?
We're right near Naples. Yeah, right on the other coast there. And to heat things up even more, I got some pepperoni peppers, it's one of my new things that I really, really love and enjoy. And I had a few of them today, and I wouldn't recommend that to anybody until you really think it through.
What are you just pounding peppers in the raw?
They were pickled.
You picked yourself a peck of pickled peppers.
I did, they were delicious.
Yeah.
But I realized afterwards that you got to be careful eating pickled peppers.
Yeah, a wise Chinese man once said to me when he was asked about eating Szechuan spices in China, famously spicy, and he said, you know, the problem is not eating, the problem is after.
Mm.
Yeah, we were gone for 10 days visiting boy number two, and thinking about like number two, that's where I ended up spending some time today after getting, you know, here back to Florida and after those pepperoncinis. And see, I didn't know the difference, how this started, and this will be real brief. I was trying to understand the difference between a pepperoncini and a banana pepper, and there is a difference.
I didn't know that.
No, they are not the same thing. They're actually two separate peppers.
Are banana peppers made from bananas?
No, but they get that name because they kind of look like them, but they're very small. Mm. But pepperoncini is more of a Greek-Italian kind of pepper. Mm.
Which one does Papa John's give you?
I think it's I think it's just a pepper. And I don't even know if they do that anymore because the owner got in a lot of trouble. So I think he
turned out to be racist.
Didn't Shaq take over? Isn't like Shaq the new
guy? Shaq's the new guy.
Shaq will do a commercial for any product.
But I think he actually invested in Papa John's. I think even before.
He owns a ton.
Yeah, I think he was a franchiser.
Yeah,
and Frequenter, you know. Yeah, exactly. Most of the pizzas.
Hello, hello. I'm the new guy. Tell me about this epic stuffed crust pizza.
It's made with fresh, never frozen dough, hand stuffed with cheese.
Good job. All right, you caught me. It is me.
No, I knew it was you.
Let me hear you say epic stuffed crust. Epic stuffed crust.
Those franchises did not do well. Anyway, so I guess we got to talk about this Titanic thing, huh?
Well, so yeah, sure. Let's get into it. So just like your story of enjoying the first half and then a tragic afterwards of the banana peppers,
yeah.
This movie has a similar arc where you have, you know, this incredible heartfelt love story by auteur James Cameron.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have a second half of the movie of just this devastating epic of a failing ship. We did Titanic, folks, and I'm really happy we did Titanic. This was a treat. I haven't watched this movie in probably like 15 years.
Yeah, I don't know that I saw it since I saw it at the Dollar Theater. You know, back when I was a child, when you could see a movie for $1.
Yeah, I mean, it was 25 years ago, and I've only seen it one time, and I said, "Wow, this is really a really good movie." Even though it lasted forever, they should have had an intermission in the middle of it. After, right, they say, icebergs right ahead, they should have had an intermission.
And
you know?
Really, end scene, you know, and the guy.
Well, you know what, we really enjoyed in Ten Commandments, and I don't know how long it's been since you've seen it, but we're of the opinion now that all films should begin with a man coming out onto stage and telling us the movie that we're about to watch, so in this case, Titanic, and tell us that it is inspired by true events that have been documented in various sources, then explain to us the length of the film. And so we know exactly what we're getting in for, and then tell us whether or not there is an intermission. And of course, in Ten Commandments, there is. So he tells us, oh, by the way, there will be an intermission. And so that can help you plan how many peppercini peppers you're going to eat.
Exactly. I would recommend none, because you're going to be needing more than one intermission.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
one after every 10 minutes. I mean, it was bad, and I don't want to describe it much more than I'm telling you. Stay away from pepperoncinis.
Well, we discussed this when you're watching Lord of the Rings back to back. You have to spend about 2 hours in the bathroom between movies, so you know, it really elongates the day.
I just finished watching Return of the King for recording after this, and I have to say, as soon as the credits rolled, I was rushing to that bathroom because
I'm just running.
That is a long movie, and
You know what? I bet has nice bathrooms is the Titanic. I bet it had really lovely ones, you know.
They did. I mean, you know, there were like Trump's planes. They probably had gold toilet seats and stuff like that.
Yeah, how come we didn't get any scenes of anyone taking a shit?
I really think they should have, like, given us more of the Titanic-like experience.
There should have been, like, one guy on the toilet and, like, the iceberg hits and is like, what was that?
You know, some of the eating habits of those people 100 years ago, they would spend hours in the loo, you know, and I mean, there might have been someone.
What do you think they were eating, Dad? What do you think they were eating?
No, it doesn't matter. It could be pepperoncinis if that's where you're going, but I'm just saying that they
lots of pickled goods. One guy
could have gone to the bathroom not knowing anything was going wrong because he's going to the bathroom for 2 hours, and then all of a sudden he's swimming, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that can happen to the best of us, even if we're not on a sinking ship.
Yeah,
just clogging toilets.
So speaking of bowel movements, I kind of feel like this movie does not start in a good way. So James Cameron, we know, is his hobby is kind of exploring the deep ocean.
Yeah.
And the Titanic, I think, was kind of a passion project for him. Even, I believe, some of the footage in the film was taken by him.
Oh, yeah, it was.
The actual Titanic, correct?
Yeah, that's his footage that he filmed going down there.
Yeah, he didn't want to pay a license fee for it, yeah.
Right. Sure. And so,
who else
for some reason, in this movie about...
Could have been others, he bought them out.
No, he's the one who discovered it. Remember in the 90s?
That's him saying, yeah. You know.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. He might have had them killed. But we...
He told him to go down another 100 feet in a damn crap.
I mean, he did proclaim upon winning the Oscar that he's king of the world. So if that's true, he could have anyone he wanted to kill. But
he's a horrible human being, by the way.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about how...
Yeah, he's a horrible human being.
What do you mean? He seems like a tight dude.
How many actors and actresses wanted to go work for them after one movie? Like none.
Yeah, it has taken a long time for that Avatar sequel to get off the ground.
Well, they're making four more Avatars.
Sigourney Weaver has worked with him a bunch. You know, she came back for Avatar.
Yeah, Sigourney Weaver loves him.
Yeah, well,
Arnold Schwarzenegger, two movies.
Yeah, well, they probably did him back to back. They had no way to get out.
Yeah. Yeah, 1984 and 2011.
Yeah, he held back the money from the first ones. He didn't pay him their back end royalties and said, not to finish up your contract. He probably wrote it into their contract.
Yeah.
I'm just telling this guy is not a nice man. I know.
Papa Dave here. Okay. And so we're talking about this horrible human being, James Cameron, and we have this epic story about the Titanic.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we got to shoehorn in this, what I would say is just this masturbatory exercise of James Cameron splintering his personalities into like the really nerdy nerd guy. We've got the guy with the beard that's driving the robots. Ugh. And then we've got like the treasure hunter guy who's kind of like the director.
It was awful.
We've got the finance guy. And for some reason, we just get this 45-minute story of people on a boat exploring the Titanic.
Should have been cut completely.
Get to the Titanic.
Yeah, cut it out, you know?
Why was that in the film?
No idea. It was wild. In retrospect, he was just basically like, I need to celebrate that I found the Titanic and filmed it. So I'm going
to
make 45 minutes of this movie.
Hire actors to play the different pieces of my personality.
Greg Kinnear to play like a quarter of my personality.
Is that Greg Kinnear?
I think it was Greg Kinnear. What?
No, I don't think that was Greg Kinnear.
No, there was a guy that died recently, I think. The guy's dead.
Just like Jack.
I don't want to touch my computer to do an IMDb, but the guy who was like the explorer, I think he died.
Are you sure that's not Greg Kinnear?
He was probably killed by... no, that's not Greg Kinnear.
Bill Paxton. Paxton.
I think he died.
Shit. Oh, did he?
I think so.
Greg Kinnear isn't as good as it gets, man. He's not in the Titanic.
Yeah, Greg Kinnear... Bill Paxton did die.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what. Greg Kinnear's career hadn't even started then. He was maybe the key grip on the set.
Yeah, I agree.
Or the best boy.
Did you eat any of the PCP spiked clam chowder from the set of Titanic? And did they ever catch the person responsible?
Yeah, that's kind of a crazy story.
So we got this plot of for some reason we need this setup as if people don't know what the Titanic is. We need this MacGuffin added, which is the heart of the ocean, this giant black diamond. Because this is somehow necessary to tell this story. To me, the sinking of the Titanic, that's enough. We all know the Titanic, the unsinkable ship that sank, right? I don't really need any other motivation to watch this spectacle, but we get it anyway. Cameron has to shove that in.
Yeah, it is strange that, the treasure hunter, it's just completely unnecessary. The entire thing is completely unnecessary. And
the MacGuffin is completely unnecessary.
They should have just gone directly with Leo winning the gambling tickets. That's how the movie starts, you know?
Let's do it. But you're talking about that really nice, beautiful necklace, right? So I had some issues with that.
Yeah.
One of the issues was apparently when they got on land, that a-hole, a guy that wanted to marry Rose, I don't even remember his name in the movie.
Billy Zane.
Billy Zane. His family supposedly did an insurance claim on that thing because they thought it sunk and paid out millions of dollars. If you think about millions of dollars 100 years ago, how much would that thing... That would be worth about...
That's what they're saying. It's the most expensive... Bigger than the Hope Diamond. So it's
couldn't it be a billion?
It probably would be a billion nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About as much money as the Titanic movie made.
Yeah, the problem I have with this whole thing... So the old bag, Rose, who's 101, right? She comes on board, and she somehow smuggles that little necklace onto the... You know, and then I didn't know what was going to happen. Remember how she climbs up on the rail towards the end of the movie,
right?
She was
just going to jump.
I thought she was. I wish she had. She should have done with that diamond rather than throwing it overboard. She should have given it to her granddaughter. And I have a little opinion about that granddaughter too. And can you imagine that granddaughter probably spent many years taking care of this old bag?
Well,
okay?
I got good news. They filmed an alternative ending where she like shows the treasure hunters the diamond.
Yeah. Ooh.
So,
really?
So cut that in, editor guy, John. It's unbelievable. It's one of the most cringeworthy scenes. It didn't work at all. So yeah. Cameron tried it, but he's like, no, I just got to get rid of it.
So the treasure hunter sees the diamond and holds it.
They kill the old lady and her grandma.
Yeah, she still chucks it over her shoulder and makes the little oops sound. But then the treasure hunter realizes that the true heart of the ocean is the granddaughter.
My God.
You look for treasure in the wrong place, Mr. Lovett. Only life is priceless. And making each day count.
She had about six lines, okay? The granddaughter. And she was an attractive granddaughter who takes care of Grandma, who's 101, Grandma Rose. And she comes on, she's wearing tight blue jeans, and she's just this hip little, she's got this little look in her eyes, like, I'm a great, perfect human being, taking care of Grandma, you know? And she has six lines. How did she audition for the part? I'd like to know how she got the role. She had six lines.
Oh, yes. Very nice. Oh, have you met my granddaughter, Lizzie? She takes care of me.
We met just a few minutes ago. Remember, Nana, up on deck? Okay.
There. That's nice. Have to have my pictures when I travel.
Can I get you anything? Is there anything you'd like?
Yes. I would like to see my drawing.
Did she bother you the most in this movie?
It bothered me a lot, yeah.
I don't know.
Who do you think should have played it? Julia Roberts, maybe?
Oh, Julia Roberts. Sure. How about Renee Zellweger? If you think her lips were quivering in that other movie with Tom Cruise, what the hell, Jerry, whatever that
McGuire
movie was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she'd be freezing her. Can you imagine those lips moving around?
I can. Moving around never mind.
No. And in fact, Renee Zellweger's like 60 now or something. Can you imagine her doing well? No, that would be 25 years.
Do you think the old lady's still alive?
In real life?
Yeah.
Well, she would have been 101 25 years ago. She could maybe be one of those that live in Japan, you know, lived about 100 years.
No, I think Cameron had her killed afterwards.
I think it could be like a Lord of the Rings thing. You know how, like, Bilbo lives a long time?
When
he holds the ring. The diamond kept her alive. Like, she fed off its energy.
And casting it into the sea, that's like casting the ring into the fiery cracks of Mount Doom.
Yeah, exactly.
I did notice a few parallels between The Lord of the Rings and Titanic. There's a lot of Frodo and Sam, like, don't you let go, Frodo, don't you? And then kind of same thing with Jack and Rose.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of let go.
Dad, a question for you. Did you name my brother after Jack in this movie?
No.
I know he was born 7 years before this movie came out, but did you name him after?
I was thinking.
Were you thinking about it?
Yeah, you were thinking ahead.
Like, you talked to Cameron.
Yeah.
Well, it's either Jack from the Titanic or Jack and the titular beanstalk. You know, those are the only two Jacks.
The only two Jacks.
You know, I was just wondering how long Jack was hanging out along the side of the boat before she kind of finally pushed him in, you know, to go underwater. Because, you know, as he was frozen, right?
Yeah.
And then at some point, he just sort of, I think she kind of pried his fingers off.
About
the side
25
of the boat.
Seconds.
I love that she says, I'll never let go. And then she just immediately lets go of him.
Yeah,
and
she had enough of Leonardo. Yeah.
I forgot that she pushed him off.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
She's enough. I'm going to get home.
I'll never let go. I promise.
Yeah.
So just a quick recap. Everyone's seen this movie, but it's a love story for the first hour and a half, and it's a really long love story.
Yeah, it took a
while. And you have the villain, Billy Zane, who's
he's great.
Rich, He was great. Yeah, he's fantastic in this movie.
He has a he has what they call a punchable face. Do you know what that means?
Oh yeah.
So the only other guy that I know also had a punchable face, he used to be the musical director for Saturday Night Live about 30 years ago. He had that white hair and a mustache, and he played guitar, and he'd always be making all these people said he had one of the most punchable faces in the history of the world. I have no idea who the guy is, but just research it.
Him and Billy Zane.
Oh yeah.
I think Billy, you made a good point. This might have ruined Billy Zane's career because everyone just hated him so much.
Sue, and your mom was saying that people just like wouldn't talk to him, and I mean he had they just wouldn't cast him in anything.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Rose, get into the boat. Rose. Goodbye, mother. Rose. Rose, come back here!
Are you cold? Damn! What to him? You whore to a gutter rat!
No, wait! I'd rather be his whore than your wife.
He was great.
And he was awesome.
Kathy Bates is in this. She's great.
She's good, sure. Yeah, the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yep. And you have the Rose's mom, I don't know that actress's name, but she plays the most, as a stern woman character actor, she is perfect. You know, she just...
Yeah, perfect ice queen
there. Ice queen, exactly. Kate Winslet as Rose. She got an Oscar nod for this, which is insane.
Did she not win?
She might have won. I think she did win.
Because it won... Because, you know, part of the epicness of this film is that at the time it won 11 right. Academy Awards, which at the time most was... And we've already talked about this on the episode before. It was only equaled by Return of the King, when Return of the King also won 11 Academy Awards. But at the time, this set the record for the most Academy Awards of any film. Notably, Leo DiCaprio was snubbed.
Which is not even
a nomination.
He is terrible in this movie, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's really not acting very well in this film.
He's grown so much as an actor since this. You know, he's corny, cheesy,
When we get to the director's cut, I want to talk to you. Do you guys still do the director's cut?
The director's corner?
Yes. I have some ideas about Leonardo I want to share with you.
Should we get into the director's corner?
The director's corner.
What do you got?
Okay. Well, you know, so he was pretty young, 2021, when he did this role, okay? Probably around there, 21, 22. And he was coming off Gilbert Grape just from a few years earlier, okay? So I was thinking, and I want to be, you know, sensitive here, but what if James Cameron had basically had Leonardo, that was
as the character
in Titanic. So his name was Arnie Grape. Arnie Grape, I researched that.
She falls in love with Arnie Grape.
Arnie Grape.
Wow.
Everything, the exact same script. He acts like Rose, I want to paint you. You know, stuff like that. Yeah. His exact same character. He climbs up on the bridge and they can't get him down. You know, the bridge part of the ship. He just stays up there for hours.
Can't get him into the lifeboat.
Those masts that they lower those lifeboats down, you know, he'd be up right at the top of it.
Oh,
right?
That's so funny.
You know,
he's distracting the iceberg watchman.
Or,
you know, he's up there in the crow's nest and they're like, get down.
The crash.
But he'd be the one who would spot an iceberg like 2 days prior. He'd go, Captain, there's an iceberg. Captain, there's an iceberg out there. And they'd say, shut up, Gilbert or Arnie Grip.
We never found anything on Jack. There's no record of him at all.
No, there wouldn't be, would there? And I've never spoken of him until now. Not to anyone. Not even your grandfather. A woman's heart is a deep ocean of secrets.
Well, I was thinking...
I want hot dogs, Mom.
How about pretzels? You know, like those Hawaiian appetizers that they make with...
You get pineapple chunks out of the can, and you wrap them with little pieces of bacon, and you put a toothpick through them.
How do you cook the bacon?
In the oven on a pan.
But the bacon's not going to be crisp if you bake it in the oven on a sheet.
Yes, it will.
And nobody wants greasy,
hot dogs.
You soak them
floppy bacon.
Put them on.
Mama, I want hot dogs.
We're going to have hot dogs.
I don't even have a picture of him. He exists now only in my memory.
Do you think if they made this movie in the year 2021, they would have to say women and children and autists in the lifeboat?
Yeah. No, but
women and children and any autistic people.
Or he's not autistic in the movie at all, but he just has the voice. Rose, I want to paint you, but it's only the voice. But everything else, he's still great looking, and everything he looked, he's a great dancer. Everything he does.
Is he a great dancer in this?
Well, he was dancing. Yeah, they were dancing it up.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They danced it.
But I think they kind of used some special effects because what they wanted to show is if they were really dancing, so they would show the feet first, and they're just really cutting the rug, as they like to say, and then they move slowly up to show that's really Leonardo dancing. Bullshit.
Yeah.
There's no way that's him dance.
So my director's corner, you ready for this, Dad?
I'm ready. Do it.
More feet shots. Just all feet. You know what I mean? Every single scene just raising up from the feet on up. And it's directed by Quentin Tarantino. And when the boat starts sinking, it's just really bloody as opposed to...
So you said feet, F-E-E-T?
Yeah, just a lot of feet shots.
So
you all know Tarantino likes the feet. Yeah.
As the movie progresses, they start showing the feet in the water, right?
Yeah, just all feet shots everywhere. Mm-hmm. Frozen feet, broken feet, normal feet.
We talk about the Tarantino cut.
Yeah, the Tarantino cut. It's just a lot of feet.
Yeah. That would be an interesting take.
Instead of the hand up on the steamy window of that car, it's just a foot.
That'd be perfect. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. Yeah.
And like Leonardo, like he's like doing the hand kiss, like, hello, my lady. Yeah. Like instead they extend their foot.
When he's painting Rose, it pulls away and he's just painting her feet.
She like starts like shaking her jugs a little to like get his attention, but he's just like staring at her feet.
He's just totally doing her feet.
And what about the waiters when they serve the food and drinks? They would serve it on, they'd like do a handstand and serve it with their feet.
Oh, hell yeah. So it becomes a really like a
very interesting, Dave. Very good.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I mean, I should be a director, so
You should. We should all.
Yeah, I agree.
Andy, you have any director's course? You good?
I really, you like to, Dave, you often are, have some brilliant takes and
Wow.
You like to say things like, "Oh, well, actually, New York is the
character film,"
and and this time, it's easy to say like, "Well, actually, the Titanic itself is a character in this film," and I would agree with all of those statements. I think even New York was a character in this film, as was Liverpool, and the North Atlantic. I think that's definitely a character in this film. But I could have used more character development on the iceberg.
Yeah.
What was the iceberg's motivations? Mm-hmm. Maybe some cuts early on, kind of like Jaws, like kind of see the iceberg moving along steadily in the ocean.
Oh, that would have been tight, kind of hinting, actually. Yeah.
Some menacing, like...
Like Jaws. Jaws.
Yeah, exactly. Like, here's this iceberg. Like, let us know that it's there. Let the audience in on, like, this iceberg is... And maybe, like, the radio waves are kind of like, beep, 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 like, coming and, like, and you hear on the radio, like, unsinkable ship Titanic is heading through the North Atlantic.
Maybe.
It kind of inspires the iceberg to, maybe the iceberg's parents never really thought that it was worth a damn. You'll never see
what about just a little what iceberg. About the Jaws music every time they get...
Yeah, I think so, too. Maybe even show the iceberg warming up a bit, taking out a few fishing vessels, like, cutting its teeth. Let us know that this iceberg is out.
Couple polar bears falling into the water.
It's growing in its menace, and then it hears about the Titanic. It's like unsinkable. Let's see about that, And it slowly makes its way towards it. Yeah, that's great.
You could never sink the Titanic.
I'll tell you what I can do, Dad. Just sink that shit, you know?
Maybe it could be kind of even a sequel. It's called Iceberg. And it's just the whole 3 hours is just the iceberg, and then, you know, it's the tide down.
No, I think it's directed by Spike Lee, and it's called The Bird.
Yeah.
I think that's how we do it.
I think we could definitely use a refresher of the Spike Lee joint after this James Cameron film.
Absolutely.
Put Terrence Howard in it just for the hell of it.
He's voicing the iceberg.
The Director's Corner.
All right, well, that was a great Director's Corner. I think we all just improved on this already 11 Oscar-winning movie, so, yeah.
Also, we should mention that this is, at the time, was the top-grossing film of all time. Only supplanted down the road later by James Cameron's Avatar.
Yeah.
And only recently
Avengers.
Taken over by Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, I took Dave to see Avatar. Remember that, Dave?
Yeah, loved Avatar.
Yeah, it's good.
We're going to do Avatar later this season. Yeah.
But we should mention that Avatar has actually reclaimed the throne because of re-releases and things like that.
Oh, really?
So I believe Avatar is back on top. I'll have to double check my sources on
these
that.
Rock. What are they?
Telu.
Telu.
You call beetle larvae.
Watch them damn fine Telu. It's my grandma's Telu.
More Telu.
Okay, so maybe let's do some hot takes and hot cakes. Is that good with everyone? Let's do it.
Yeah.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
Yeah. All right, guys. I have a spicy take for you. You ready? My hot take is there should have been fewer lifeboats. I think it's government overreach to require a lifeboat for every person on board. I think it's just, you got to let these businesses be profitable, especially during COVID. And you know what was going on back during the Titanic? The Spanish influenza. So these big boat companies are the real victims. They need to get their monies back. You know, they need to, you know, so I think fewer lifeboats. Look, it's not my fault you can't swim. If you're going on a boat, learn how to swim into cold water, you know? Like, come on, step it up. How Rose survives on a door. Why don't more people just get doors, you know?
Yeah.
It's not that hard. Where are all the doors?
Hey, also, you know what takes up a lot less space than a lifeboat? A stand-up paddleboard.
Yeah.
You could stack about 15 stand-up paddleboards.
Throw them in the water.
You know what's better than a lifeboat? A slot machine. You know? So have a few more slot machines in the boat. That's what I'm talking about. Let's get the load-bearing weight. Let's think about that. So, you know, let the poor people die. Let the poors die. Who cares? It's all about the rich. In the Titanic, it's a celebration of being rich. So fewer lifeboats. Hell yeah, that's my...
Well, you know...
I did a little bit of research on this. Mm. And it actually, in real life, the Titanic actually had more lifeboats than was required by regulations and laws.
Back then, right?
They were over the required need. So everyone, like, hating on that Titanic, like, oh, not enough lifeboats. They actually were better than most folks.
Which is disappointing. I think they should have fewer. I think they should have more slot machines, more bars.
Yeah. You know, this would be my hot take, and it's just sort of crystallized in my mind, Dave, from your with the lifeboats. Mm. And it could also solve the problem about Titanic 2, if you wanted to do one. And what that would mean, what I mean by that is every lifeboat has a leak in it.
Okay? Oh, shit.
So all those rich people are going to have these slow leaks. Okay.
Oh.
It starts around the feet, Dave, which would there you go. Yeah. And then, you know, about an hour and a half into it, you know, it's about halfway up.
Yeah.
Some of them kind of break in half and the stern goes up in the air and all that shit.
Oh, hell yeah.
The iceberg starts splintering and
Jaws theme is playing.
And then they see those ships out in the horizon wondering, are they going to get there in time to rescue them, right?
Yeah.
But you don't know. And that's the setup for, you know, Titanic 3. But I'm thinking every single boat has a leak. So that would be my hot take. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good one.
I love it.
Love it. What's your hot take, Andy?
My hot take. Can I do my hot cake first?
Hot cake.
I really want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have, you know, that's a lot of takes there. And I do have one. I promise you I have one. But I got to give a shout out here, you know, get some levity back in this. And my hot cake is the Italiano guy, you know. Jack. I can't wait to get to Titanic. You know, like that guy was just, he was just bringing it.
Giuseppe. Oh, no, there's a giant iceberg. It's going to crush.
Yeah. Mamma mia, iceberg. I go to America, become millionaire. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, these are literal.
You mean Leonardo's friend, that guy?
That guy.
Yeah, Vincenzo.
Yeah, I bet he's not Italian, that guy. I think.
Oh, yeah. No.
Cameron kind of picked him up, said, I'll give you $100, throw on an Italian accent.
Like, I can't believe that guy was in this movie and had multiple scenes and lines speaking like that in this one in Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Italian-American Association should demonstrate against that guy.
Yeah.
This is not PC anymore, having a guy that's like, I like the pasta and I don't like the sinky ship. You know, and it was like, dude, you should be talking about pasta right now.
But I loved him. I loved him for just not taking, just basically being like, well, you know, Mario 64 had come out the year before this film, and that was the first time we actually heard Mario speak, unless you had, I think it was
Mario. Oh, right.
There was like some Mario computer game, but you know, that's the first time we say it's a me, a Mario. Yeah. You know, Charles Martinet is the guy who plays Mario.
Oh, I remember. I bought all those things for Dave. Yeah,
that's right.
Right, and so that's, you know, he's basically just like, all I got to do is this Mario voice. All right, I'm in, and you know, he goes on to be part of the cast that wins an Oscar. So he's my hot cake. Great job by you.
I can see the Statue of Liberty already. That is small, of course.
I'm the king of the world!
Very good.
My hot cake is Kathy Bates. I thought she was actually, like, by far... Her and Billy Zane were, like, easily the most, like, believable and best acting in this movie. She was particularly, like, charismatic. She's great. I mean, she's just a great actress. So, she looks good, too. You know, she's looking hot. And she's unbreakable. So, like Kimmy Schmidt. So,
she's unsinkable.
Yeah, she's unsinkable, like Kimmy Schmidt.
Believe me, I'll tell you what. She would sink, okay?
Oh, yeah, but, well, you know.
She ain't unsinkable, that lady.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, Kathy Bates, she might surprise you. She probably like swim the English Channel randomly, you know?
No,
she's
a
strong woman. She's breaking legs.
Well, we got to test that hypothesis a few years later when she does that full frontal scene and gets into a hot tub.
Yeah, it's with Jack Nicholson, right?
Jack Nicholson.
Oh, God. Oh, I didn't want to think about that. Ooh.
Yeah.
Mind if I join you?
Oh, that's better. Oh, what a night. I was very moved.
You know, so Dave, you know I have problems sleeping at night anyway, but thinking about
her and pepperoncinos, you know, you're going to have a rough day ahead.
No, Dave, pepperoncinis. There's pepperoncini.
What's a pepperoncino?
Pepperoncino.
Yeah, what is that?
Pepperoncini.
It's a pepperoncino type of pasta. Is that what I'm thinking?
Are you thinking pepperoni?
I don't know.
Have you been gone too long?
Maybe I'm losing my...
All right, whatever. Okay.
What's your hot cake, Dan?
Well, you know, I still want to go back to the granddaughter. Okay, she had 6 lines, but they had her looking really good in those blue jeans. I wanted to... I'd love to see her audition tape. What did she do? What did she say? I would like to know why she felt so obligated to help a lady who kept a $1 billion necklace out of her hands. You could just tell that she just seemed like a really hip, smart, kind of wealthy, the granddaughter I'm talking about. Had this look about her, yuppie, smart, went to a good school, maybe even U of M, who knows. Maybe she didn't get into that school. I don't know. But I'm just saying, I want to know more. I want to know more. I'm intrigued by so few lines. And she must have been naughty if her grandmother wouldn't give her the necklace. Why didn't the old bag give her the necklace?
Well, at the alternative scene, after the grandma throws the diamond off, she takes the grandma by the legs and flips her over.
What I think happened is she goes, "Hey, whatever her name is, Linda, you know, I really did have the necklace the whole time. And by the way, I just threw it overboard."
Mm.
And she said, "Well, grandma, go find it and flip her into the water."
yeah, exactly. Do you have a hot take?
Yeah, my hot take is that, you know, this film, they already say this is the greatest love story of all time.
Yeah. Right?
This is what people say. And so
do people say that?
My hot take, I mean, money doesn't lie.
Money doesn't lie.
Top grossing film. Avatar and Avengers Endgame, those aren't love stories, right? So this is the greatest, in terms of dollars, this is the greatest love story of all time.
Okay.
So that's already a pretty hot take. I'm gonna kick it up hotter. This is even greater than the greatest love story of all time because of its realism.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
it's very realistic.
We've all been there where we meet a random person and kind of flirt with them and hit it off, and then are willing within 24 hours to throw our entire lives away and die.
Mm.
Because of this person, and that's how love works.
Yeah,
yeah. I think Jack would be labeled. Jack would be labeled predatorial in today's society, picking up on a depressed woman who's suicidal.
Yeah, but he saved her life. I mean, come on.
I think you had to establish. I think it was a part of the realism here was you had to establish her as basically psycho and suicidal and off a rocker.
Mm.
Because otherwise, the her character choices wouldn't make sense for the rest of the film.
You know, to Jack's benefit, probably it was good he dropped under the water because he wouldn't want to be married to her because she would be very needy.
No,
she'd be very annoying all the time. She would get on your nerves.
Why can't we ride horses on Venice Beach?
Well, I'll tell you, Rose, I got 6 cents to my name. What you know?
I have no money.
I have none.
No, none. I am broke.
But yeah, I mean, you're on a lifeboat.
Yeah.
And you're gonna live.
Yeah.
There's chaos all around you. But if you just met a guy within the last 24 hours, you're definitely
She might have been a little bit like Renee Zellweger and Jerry Maguire because, as you know, she got married pretty quick. And she had that granddaughter. And that granddaughter, so that came from, so maybe she was promiscuous is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and I think this just speaks to, you know, how good these male directors, you know, James Cameron and is it Cameron Crowe that directed Jerry Maguire? So double Cameron's in. So
Cameron Crowe.
They understand women. They understand how the female mind works.
They
know how love works and how women behave in situations.
Yeah.
And it's all about that getting that penis.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, the thing with Jack, though, if he would have been around and Mary Rose, he'd have to deal with her mother. And, you know, she was not a nice lady.
Very strong. To complete the Cameron trilogy,
we could watch
Con Air. Which the character's name is Cameron Poe.
Mm.
Cameron Poe?
Yeah, that's Nick Cage's character. I don't know why I remember that, but Cameron Poe. Cameron Poe. He has like a crazy accent in that movie. It's awesome.
Mm.
All right.
Interesting. Okay.
Let's get into the brunchiness of this.
Ooh. Mm.
So I gave a very high score to Fellowship of the Ring. I think this is an incredibly brunchy movie. Maybe you disagree, but the first half is like just pure brunch, like 7 out of 7. The second half with the people dying in the iceberg, that's awesome. Not super brunchy because it's dark and everyone's cold. So it balances out where I'm going quite high. I'm giving this a 6 out of 7 in brunchiness. I think it's very brunchy. Wow. Yeah.
I'll side with you there, and we'll let your pa be.
Well, you know, I mean, I think you know, but it's not applicable as much because it lasted so damn long. I mean, you have to talk at brunch/lunch. Okay, so, but I would say that, I mean, I think it really was an epic movie, and it was a really great movie. I can't believe I watched it. I'm going to go 7. I'm going to give it a 7.
Wow.
7, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not as high. I think there are plenty of movies brunchier than this. Yeah. I definitely think it sides on the side of brunchy, but, I'll use the scale. I'll use the scale.
Whoa.
I'll give it 5 out of 7.
Wow. I mean, the Celine Dion song itself is the most brunchy song ever made.
Yeah, it's boring.
I don't like her at all either. I could do a separate episode of her.
But. I remember when I was a kid, you despised that she was married to an old French guy.
Yeah, I did. It bothered me forever. It still does. He's already died, I'm still bothered by it. Rene, where's my Rene?
Oh, it used to drive you nuts.
It did.
When that movie came out, Andy, all I would hear about, I just have a clear memory of him just complaining about her husband. How dare she? What's wrong with her? She married this old, man.
Absolutely.
Killed you.
It still bothers you to this day. Yeah, it's worse than Peppercini.
Yeah. You wake up dyspeptic.
Dave 4, are you familiar with the recorder version of the Titanic song where the guy tries to play it on the recorder?
Oh, that's so funny.
You mean, no, I haven't, is there a YouTube or something on that?
Yeah,
or?
Watch it after this.
Yeah, just search Titanic theme or like My Heart Will Go On recorder. Yeah, okay. And there's a guy who just does a fantastic rendition of it.
We should
recorder.
Have that play us out instead of Celine Dion.
Yeah, I would. Let your editor guy know that. Sure.
Yeah, you're getting sleepy over there, Pops.
It's, hey, man, I had to take shutters down. I had to do a lot of Peppercini runs.
To get the juices flowing, just imagine Celine Dion
arguing
with her husband about.
Just the way she would mention his name, Rene.
She's from Quebecois.
I don't care. I just stop it. Stop talking about your husband. He's not that great. He's like 30 years older than you. Why did you marry him to begin with?
Was he a? He was her producer.
Yeah, of course. It's sort of like
there's
that guy.
There's something creepy going.
It's sort of like that guy in the U.S., David Foster. You know that bastard guy? He's a horrible human being. He's married like for the 7th time to a girl who took like 2nd place in American Idol or something. And he gets divorces, Dave. All the time he's getting divorced and he's getting remarried.
One would say it's his hobby to just get divorced.
His ego, if you ever wanted to know what does a big ego look like, just catch him on any show. And he thinks, he's just, James Cameron and him, they could never make it in the same room together. No way.
I honestly believe James Cameron's like one of the best directors of all time, like a legit genius.
He is, but he's impossible to deal with.
It doesn't matter. Like, so was every great director. You know,
well, Spielberg, you don't hear that shit about him.
Yeah, but Spielberg also made, he made the you know.
And Spielberg that guy Zach something, that's this director does a zombie movie, Zach something or something.
Zack Snyder?
Yeah, I heard he's a pretty good guy to work for.
Yeah, and it's not like a competition, you know? Well, it is a competition, but, you know, it's not like a macho measuring thing.
By when Bruce said something about you having to take us all to brunch?
Oh, see, now that's cold. That's a betrayal. I feel stung by that.
Yeah, he made a great, great movie called Justice League, Dad. And I want
you
to go.
Yeah.
Go watch the Snyder Cut. It's just 4 hours long.
Yeah, no, I like the guy. I saw him on, I never knew who he was. I saw him on a TV show the other day.
You're a big Snyder guy? Were you on Twitter?
No, he was on Jimmy Kimmel's show or something, and they did something.
Oh, my God.
And he was so funny. He was like making Jimmy do some stupid things. But anyways,
I am in shock you're a Snyder guy, because I think Snyder's probably the worst director in America.
Well, first of all, I never heard of him. I saw him one time. I said I kind of liked
did
it.
Did you not see the 300?
I haven't seen any of his. Oh, I took Dave to see the 300.
No, I saw 300
Zach
in college.
Right there.
Somebody took a jab.
Whatever. We went together. But anyway. Okay, what else we have to do to wrap this baby up? Is there other things?
Our pairings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a good one. Because I forgot we had to do that. And so, Dave, after you mentioned that to me, I came up with trying to do it. It's not food. It's going to be actually a liquid.
Oh, let's do it.
It's a Jaeger bomb. Because what happens, and with the Jaeger bomb, apparently the shot sinks down to the bottom, right? The shot, well, just like the boat drink, sinking down to the bottom. So I thought there that would go. Be a very appropriate.
How many are you doing during watching?
I've only done one in my life, I think, with you or with Jack. I'll never do another one of those things.
How many?
You could use one right now to stay awake for
this. Oh, I'm going to watch a basketball game here in a little bit.
Yeah, yep. Oh, yeah. Giannis is going to choke. He's going to choke. He's calling it now.
Dave, do you have something planned for this? Or do you, should I go first?
I have a nice one. You ready? It's a short little soliloquy. So my pairing is, it is a meal, and I hope you guys enjoy it. So it's iceberg lettuce with an Irish coffee. You get some rose-flavored kombucha and some Colby Jack cheese fries topped with some Billy Zaney sauce. It's so good. It makes you want to just sit at the table and Kathy Bates.
Okay.
What?
Kathy Bates? Like,
and what was and Kathy Bates?
Because kind of, it's so good, you want to like masturbate. So
oh, Dave, it. Stop. Stop. We don't need that on this, please. There's a few people I know that actually listen to this. I don't even
I had you guys until the Kathy Bates line, but okay.
But...
Well, I didn't quite. Yeah. I didn't follow. That wasn't a very good pun.
No.
So my pairing is. I'm not going to give you the actual food that you're going to eat, but this is the experience I'm going to describe. This is the brunch pairing for this is the we should have sat indoors brunch. You know, sometimes you wake up on a and this happened a lot in San Francisco. San Francisco, as you know, is famous for being foggy.
Microclimates. Microclimates.
Roll its ugly head in. And so in San Francisco, a lot of times you go to brunch and you have to wait in a long
line. Oh, I know.
Because in San Francisco, no one, there's nothing more fun in San Francisco than waiting in line for brunch 3-4 hours. People just love it. So you go, you sign in and you wait. And then finally you've been waiting so long and they're like, oh, we have a table outside. And it's sunny because it's still kind of early in the day. You know, it's 1, 2 p.m. And so you sit outside and you're like, oh, yeah, that'll be fine. We'll sit outside. And then the restaurant's still slow. They're trying to turn tables over. And by the time they take your order, the fog has already rolled in. And it's starting to get really cold. And so the Titanic is kind of like that, right? Where it starts on this beautiful journey across the sea. And you think everything's going to go right. It's unsinkable. This is a foolproof plan to have brunch with your homies on the weekend.
Andy.
Get those ricotta pancakes. You
truly gave this a lot of thought. Well done. Bravo.
You don't like my puns? My puns were great.
Well, you did. Dave, you clearly did not give it a lot of thought.
What? I thought I nailed the pun.
So, yeah, that fog rolls in, and then you're just thinking, we should have waited for the indoor table. Kind of like Rose should have stayed in that lifeboat.
She should have stayed in that lifeboat.
Yeah.
Jack might have been able to eke out on that door, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Opportunity cost.
Except he would have drowned because he was still handcuffed to that pole.
Oh, that's right. No. Was he off the pole? No.
No. Very much on the pole, if you know what I mean.
Dad, thank you for joining us.
Well, I hope the audio came out okay. I mean, you know, I noticed I was slouching back from time to time.
It'll be fine.
Right, that's what we pay John for.
I just realized, you know, I was getting kicking back and thinking about stuff.
You're fine. Okay.
All right, we'll see how it turns out. So, Dave,
anything you'd like to leave the people with?
No. I think you know, there's this. Yeah, I have something to leave the people with. Well, I went to a conference many years ago, and this guy who's a psychiatrist, he sort of led the conference, and he goes to everybody at the end of the day. Yeah, it's been a long day. You did a good job. Everybody okay? How's everybody feeling? People aren't saying anything. He says to the whole group, isn't it just nice to be invited? And they all, okay? And everybody's kind of looking at each other, what the hell? And so I guess my point is it's nice to be invited. So thank you for inviting me for your show. That's it.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, we'll have you on for next season.
Call Dave by mistake or call me by mistake. Dave, get your own Apple ID, will you please?
Yeah, I did slightly change it. Call me by your name, but I did slightly change it.
And what's our sign off? Do you remember?
Keep on sipping.
See you at the brunch. Okay, I'm gonna stop my recording here.
All right, Dave, what should I do? I hit stop. I hit the black box and pause it, right?